Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by your CFRC News Collective, Ara McCauley, Jesse Bell, and Jenny Hinch. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcasts, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Ara McCauley, and here are your local news headlines. The City of Kingston was presented with two options related to assigning a closed meeting investigator for council following notification from its current contractor that they are concluding their closed meeting investigator program at the end of this year. Since its enactment, the Municipal Act 2001 gives municipalities the authority to appoint an investigator to investigate complaints regarding closed meetings. Municipalities may appoint an individual, a firm, or the Ontario Ombudsman to act as their investigator. If a municipality chooses not to hire a private contractor, the Ombudsman becomes the default investigator for any complaints regarding closed meetings. Kingston Council had used the services of Local Authority Services, LAS, since 2007 and entered into an investigator services agreement with LAS in 2008, which automatically renewed at the start of each calendar year. Now that LAS has provided notice that its closed meeting investigator program will conclude on December 31, 2026, Council met to explore options for closed meeting investigator services commencing in January 2027. Staff presented Council with two options to vote on. Option 1, that the City Clerk be directed to issue a request for proposals for the position of closed meeting investigator, or Option 2, that Council decline to appoint a closed meeting investigator, in which case the Ontario Ombudsman will continue to have jurisdiction to investigate closed meeting complaints. Option 1 carries a price tag for the City. LAS, for example, charged an annual $250 administration fee as well as an hourly rate of $425 to $895 for investigations on an as-needed basis, with hourly fees dependent on the seniority of the lawyer leading the investigation. The report from staff notes that investigation fees are unknown, although historically the City has budgeted an annual amount of $5,000 for investigative services, which has been adequate to cover the cost of the service thus far. Councillor Shaves asked how many times the City had historically used the investigator.
How often have we used this, or when was the last time we've used the service?
Ms. Morley.
Thank you, and through your worship, in the last 10 years, we've had three closed meeting investigations.
The report noted that both closed meeting investigator appointed by the municipality and the ombudsman have the same powers under the Municipal Act, with the ombudsman having additional powers under the Ombudsman Act. Both investigators appointed by the municipality or the ombudsman have the same investigative powers, such as listening to and requesting information needed for the investigation, including requiring any officer, employee, or member of a municipality that, in their opinion, is able to give information relating to any matter being investigated, to provide information, documents, or things in their possession or under their control, and to summon and examine on oath any complaint, officer, employee, member of a municipality, and anyone else that investigators think can provide relevant information. Following the conclusion of an investigation, the investigator is required to report their findings and make recommendations, and the municipality must make the reports public. If using an ombudsman, their office may also publish or make a report available on their website. The ombudsman's additional powers compared to a contracted investigator include the ability to make an investigation on his or her own motion, refuse to investigate certain matters, refer a matter to the appropriate authority if, during or after an investigation, the ombudsman is of opinion that there is evidence of a breach of duty or of misconduct on the part of any officer or employee of any public sector body, and the right to enter the premises of any public sector body and conduct an inspection. The Ombudsman Act can also issue offenses, including fines of up to $500, imprisonment up to 3 months, or both, for those who interfere with their investigations, such as willfully obstructing the Ombudsman in the performance of its functions, refusing or willfully failing to comply with any lawful requirement of the Ombudsman, or willfully making false or misleading statements. Councillor McLaren opened the discussion, advocating for option two.
Two considerations. The way it's been now, our closed meeting investigator is also our integrity commissioner. There could be a conflict there at some point. But more importantly, the ombudsman is free. If we're concerned with tax dollars, let's take the ombudsman.
Councillor Ridge sought clarity on potential conflicts of interest.
Councillor McLaren highlighted an interesting potential situation about conflict of interest. How might a commissioner or somebody investigating this forego that conflict of interest or procedurally what would they do?
Ms. Worley?
Thank you, and through your worship, it is common in municipalities for the same individual to act as both the closed meeting investigator and the integrity commissioner under the applicable legislation being the Municipal Act. The integrity commissioner has the authority to delegate someone to act in their place in circumstances where they have a conflict of interest.
Councillor Glenn added her support for the ombudsman option as well.
I'm in support of option two because of the transparency here. The Ombudsman's office is set up specifically to provide that level of public transparency. I can now speak freely about this. They used to be a previous client of mine. I've now divested myself out of my business interests. So I can tell you with clarity that their services are conducted very, very thoroughly. That does add a certain amount of time to it. I'm not saying that that's not the case with somebody that we could potentially hire. However, they have duties and obligations that are legislatively required of them in terms of conducting investigations. I think in this day and age, what we're seeing is a lack of trust in government. And the more that we can demonstrate, even if it's something like this, which is hopefully going to be rare or never occurring, the better for us and our community. So I'm in favor of this so that we can demonstrate to the community that we want to be as transparent and open as possible and that the findings that come back, if this ever happens, have been done with the utmost of care.
The Ombudsman is an impartial officer of the Ontario Legislature, independent of government and all political parties. The Ombudsman's role as a closed meeting investigator focuses specifically on whether or not the open meeting rules were followed. Advantages of option one came down to faster timelines for investigations and the contractor's municipal expertise in local governance legislation, which would allow them to act as an advisor, providing direct, ongoing legal counsel and advice regarding open meeting exemptions, while still maintaining a duty to conduct impartial investigations. Option 2 offered the appeal of having no charge to the municipality. Ombudsman Ontario provides resources, guides, and case summaries to help educate municipalities with respect to closed meeting rules, but does not offer formal personalized training workshops. Staff also flagged the fact that because the Ombudsman handles complaints for more than 1,000 government and public sector organizations, their investigations can take significant time. Although Mayor Patterson recognized the value in both options, his recommendation leaned toward option one.
I appreciate kind of the discussion here about trying to figure out which of these two paths is the better one. To be honest, I don't see any difference in the quality of the investigation. I don't see any difference in the transparency or the trust. I've never seen that before, right? Whoever the closed meeting investigator is, clearly they are respected and clearly, you know, they're listened to. I think it really does come down to timing. And I guess it's the old adage is that you get what you pay for. So, yes, you could get something that's free, but it would be with a very long time frame. And I think that that is a concern. I think that if we want to think about something that might damage trust, it's probably that. So, given the input from staff on what kind of cost we're talking about, a $250 administration fee, and then maybe a cost for an investigation, I personally think it would be better to do an RFP and at least see what we get back. So in this particular case, I'm going to lean towards option one, but happy to see where the discussion goes.
Councillor Amos asked staff about expected timelines with both options.
What is the typical turnaround time for the Ombudsman to get the reports back to council? We know that typically our integrity commissioner takes a couple of months, and I'm just wondering, in reading the report, it kind of hinted that we were potentially talking about, look like a year.
And unfortunately, I can't answer that question because the city has never had the Ombudsman as their closed meeting investigator. Just in discussions with other municipalities who have used the Ombudsman, they can take a certain amount of time to be returned.
I'm actually okay either way on this. It didn't matter to me which one was brought forward, but I do have concerns with the speediness of it. I, as most of you know, am very fiscally aware and responsible, so that's why I'm fine either way. I'm just concern that we file something and then it gets lost in the great Ontario Ombudsman's file desk. So,
Councillor Oosterhoff asked about council's ability to change between options.
If we feel that, can we go to option one if we know obviously this isn't working? And I appreciate your comments, and I think that it's sort of making me second guess as well that timing looks like integrity too. I guess council can make any decisions we want. If we want to change our minds in middle next year, we could do that if we feel it's best to have someone else do it.
That's correct, councillor. You could always appoint a third-party closed meeting investigator at any time.
Just a quick question to staff. If we were to go the other route, we would be locked in for a period of time?
It would be standard to enter into an agreement with the closed meeting investigator for a certain period of time, yes.
So this, if we were to choose the second option, we would have more flexibility, it would be cheaper, and we know that they are proficient.
After discussion, council passed the ombudsman option with four council members opposed.
And that carries by a vote of 8-4. Myself, Councillor Ridge, Tozo, and Chinnani in the minority.
According to the Ombudsman of Ontario website, a municipal meeting or part of a meeting may be closed to the public if the subject of the meeting falls within one of the 14 exemptions set out in the Municipal Act. These include matters that relate to the security of the property of the municipality, personal matters about an identifiable individual, acquisition or disposition of land, labor relations, litigation, advice subject to solicitor-client privilege, information supplied in confidence to the municipality by another level of government, a trade secret or certain specific information supplied in confidence to the municipality or that belongs to the municipality and has monetary value, a plan or instruction to be applied to negotiations, and education or training. The municipality must state that by resolution in open session that a closed meeting will be held and state the general nature of each matter to be considered at the closed meeting. The resolution authorizing a closed meeting must be made in advance, and the public must be able to observe its passage in real time, even if the meeting is being held electronically. As a best practice, the Ombudsman advises that relevant exceptions should always be indicated in the resolution to go into a closed meeting, in addition to each subject for discussion. The Ontario Ombudsman is the closed meeting investigator for more than half of the province's towns, cities, and municipalities. If individuals wish to file a complaint, they may do so by visiting ombudsman.on.ca. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
This is part 11 of the OUA football season preview brought to you by CFRC Power Plays. 2025 was the breakthrough season the Queens Gaels had been waiting for. After back-to-back Yates Cup appearances at the start of the 2020s, the Gaels had plateaued with semifinal losses to Western and Laurier in 2023 and 2024. The 2025 team suffered a crushing comeback loss to Western in Week 1 and a definitive loss at home against Laurier in Week 3. They rebounded to lay the hammer down on OUA fringe playoff teams like McMaster, Toronto, Waterloo, and York, and they would tally an impressive win over Guelph at their homecoming before dropping a close one against Windsor at the Queen's homecoming. That led to a third consecutive 5-3 finish for the Gaels, which gave them a first-round home matchup against McMaster, where Queens would handle business quite simply to advance back to the semifinals, where they expected to play Laurier. But as McMaster began to board the bus, a cheer rang out from the upper reaches of the concourse at Richardson Stadium. The results from the Guelph and Western game were in, and the Mustangs lost by a rouge. Queens, instead of advancing to play the one seed, would play the three seed instead, which meant another trip down the 401 to Windsor. Now, this game, first half, pretty ugly, very physical, Windsor in control. In the third quarter, quarterback Alex Vraken connected with Logan Walton on back-to-back bombs to flip the momentum in the Queens' favor. From there, the Gaels kept pouring on the pressure with turnovers on defense and touchdowns on offense to prevail 36-25. For the second consecutive year, Queens rolled in as the lower seed to Windsor and upset the Lancers, knocking them out of the playoffs. This time, they booked themselves a trip back to the Yates Cup, a rematch with the top-ranked Laurier Golden Hawks. The Gaels jumped the Golden Hawks early thanks to interceptions from Jacob Baldwin, Justin Pace, and Keegan Vanek. Alex Vraken and Cedric Smith added first-half touchdowns to give Queens a 27-3 halftime lead. Laurier would rally to cut that lead down to just three, but a trio of clutch plays from Stephen Capea, John Korsgaden, and Jared Kasari sealed the 30-27 upset win for the Gaels, bringing home their first Yates Cup since 2009, and earning them the right to play in the Mitchell Bowl. Queens would travel 3,000 kilometers plus down to Saskatoon to take on the Saskatchewan Huskies, and despite a game effort, they would fall 22-11 to end a historic 2025 season. Let's take a look at the 2025 stats for the Gaels. They were third in points for with 326, which is just a shade under 41 points per game. They were third in total yards with 3,864, which is about 399 yards per game. They were fifth in passing yards with 2,500, which is about 312 yards per game. They were fifth in total rushing yards with 1,493, which is about 187 yards per game. Look, this was a really good, efficient, balanced offense that was aided by just an outstanding defense. Case in point, third in total points allowed with 173. That's 21.6 points per game. They were first in passing yards per game at 195.8. Keeping teams to under 200 passing yards is ridiculous. They were 7th in rush yards per game, but once again, guys, bear in mind, when you're so good against the pass, teams are going to have to commit to the run to move the football. They were 1st in total yards per game with 351.3. Defense really does win championships. Queens had a point differential of plus 153, so 2nd in the OUA. Looking at the last five seasons, Queens went 6-0 in 2021, losing in the Yates Cup to Western, 7-1 in 2022, losing in the Yates Cup to Western, 5-3 in 2023, losing in the semifinals to Western, 5-3 in 2024, losing in the semifinals to Laurier, and 5-3 in 2025, winning the Yates Cup. Let's address some of the key losses for the Gaels in 2026 before we talk about the overall outlook for the team. Offensive tackles Nick Henning and Jazz Kara are gone. Wide receivers Matt Camillo and Nathan Falcone are gone. Jared Kasari, the legendary Queens running back, is gone. These were all key pieces on that top three offense. On defense, linebacker Justin Pace is gone. Defensive backs Keegan Vanek, Jared Seaway, and Ashton Miller-Melançon are all gone. Defensive tackle Eric Johnston has played his final game for Queens as well. That's five starters who were all key contributors that the Gaels will have to replace in 2026. Good news is, Queens does have a lot of key guys coming back. Alex Vraken is back for his final year, and he had a breakout 2025, and he looks primed to be even better in 2026. He's going to have a lot of familiar faces to throw to. Russell Weir, Cedric Smith, Jack Ashby-Jacobs, Logan Walton, Ashton Watson, all that and so much more are back alongside H-back Mateo Tuioti. This is a very deadly Queens passing offense with a variety of options to work with. Now, the running back room will have its work cut out for them without Jared Kasari there, but look for guys like Isaiah Adams, Jace Baldwin, Ethan Dahl, and Jaden Guernsey-McDonald to contribute. They're going to have a good offensive line in front of them, led by the best center in the conference in Riley Sherman. On special teams, Matt Driver and Tyler Mullen will be back, with Mullen on the verge of rewriting the record book for Queens kickers. On defense, Queens has a lot of their front line back. Ollie Jackson, Stephen Capea, Eli Bennett, Carter Martin, Tristan Burrell, Lucas Durant, and Tom Nitschke, just to name a few. The linebacking room has a lot of dogs just champing at the bit to get in there. Brandon Spence, Jeremy Hiscox, DJ Ryan, James Gillingham, all back in the fold in 2026. The big question mark on this defense is their revamped secondary. They had a lot of key guys graduate and move on, so they need to fill that gap. I know that Ian St. Arnaud is back, and he shifted over to play halfback. Wilson Heslop showed promise during spring camp. I like what I've seen from Evan Nitschke and Dan Mukwete, and if John Korsgaden is back, he's going to be a difference maker for this unit. Now the Gaels, they start their season with games against Toronto on the road, Waterloo at home, Carleton on the road, and Ottawa at home. They then make the long trip down to London for a must-see matchup with the Mustangs. They've got tough back-to-backs at home against Windsor and Guelph before ending their season on the road in Hamilton against McMaster. Now, looking at this schedule, I think the Gaels have a floor of 5 wins and a ceiling of 8. The toughest games fall in the second half of the season for them, with Western, Windsor, and Guelph in consecutive weeks. Those are 3 big, tough, athletic teams. Now, I have the Gales as my number one seed based on their experience, outstanding coaching staff, and a clutch gene that has been developed after years of heartbreaks. I think Queens will be the OUA's top team, and they will control their playoff destinies with the number one seed. A reminder that the Gales will host the Laval Rouge et Or on Saturday, August 22nd for a preseason game. You can catch all the action on CFRC 101.9 FM. Head to CFRC for all the relevant details. This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, August 19th, 23 is your high, feeling closer to 24 with a lot of clouds in the forecast, an 88% chance of rain, and a high likelihood of an afternoon thunderstorm thanks to the humid conditions. Thursday, August 20th, 23 is your high, feeling like 25. Beautiful sunny day here. Quite breezy, especially moving into the afternoon and evening. Friday, August 21st, 23 is your high, feeling like 25, sunny conditions in the forecast. Saturday, August 22nd, 24 is your high, feeling like 25, a bright, brilliant, sunshiny day, perfect chance to swing by Richardson Stadium here in Kingston and catch a preseason football game between the Queens Gales and the Laval Rouge et Or. Kickoff at 3 p.m., and yes, we will be broadcasting the game on CFRC 101.9 FM pregame show starting at 2:45. Sunday, August 23rd, 23 is your high with a 73% chance of rain. Monday, August 24th, kicking off next week, we've got a sunny day, less humidity, more of a beautiful, breezy condition here in the city of Kingston. This is your City of Kingston traffic report. Cranbrook Street from Lakeview Avenue to Days Road is closed for pedestrian improvements. Bath Road from Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard to Portsmouth Avenue. Expect delays for the installation of intersection pedestrian signals. The city is installing these IPS at the following intersections: Bath Road at Lafleur Park, Concession Street at Kings Court Avenue, and Stephen Street at Patrick Street. Wright Crescent at Palace Road to Palace Road. Closed for a contractor to complete roadway repairs, pedestrian safety and access improvements, and traffic calming features on Wright Crescent. Norman Rogers Drive from Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard to Van Order Drive. Started on June 15th, and Norman Rogers Drive is still closed to through traffic to facilitate roadway rehabilitation and configuration improvements. This work will improve road condition, accessibility, and safety for all road users. The City of Kingston and Utilities Kingston are in the midst of a major reconstruction of Princess Street. This infrastructure project includes upgrades to underground and above ground utilities, as well as improvements to enhance safety and comfort for pedestrian and cyclists. Berry Street from Queen is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street, and Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging.
Hello, Kingston, and welcome back to CFRC 101.9 FM. Broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario, I'm CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Jenny, and this is your weekly events and concerts calendar brought to you by Flying V Productions. Whether you're looking for live music, community events, markets, workshops, or something fun to do around the city, there is lots happening this week, so let's get into it. Wednesday features games in the square, swinging summer, karaoke, trivia, and euchre. Live music includes Taryn McKenna, Evan Stabile, Sean McCullen, Nolan Hubbard, Christopher Jackson, Brass Over Tea Kettle, Dixie 6+1, and Nolan and Nick. On Thursday, browse the Kingston Public Market, bring the kids to Stories in the Square, try Paint by Numbers at the Central Library, or head to the Rocking the Square and the Forever Hip screening. Live music includes Powerhouse Trio, Bentley McKegney, Wayne Riley, Taryn McKenna, Beats Workin', Choir, Miss Emily, and Frank Ryan and Friends. Friday brings Greek Fest 2026, Spanish Conversation Sessions, Kicking It Country, and a music merch market. Music highlights include Left on Middle Road, Neil Carter, Matt Dixon, Jeff Dunn, Georgette Fry, John Kelly, and Lumpfish, Guilty Pleasures, and Dr. Bombay. Heading into Saturday, check out Finding Rhythm and Community through Afro Dance, Handmade for Humanity, Chef Demos, or the Tragically Hip Viewing Party in Springer Market Square. Live music includes Athena Fever, Retro Kings, J.S. Miller, Jason Kent, Three's Company, Odds and the Stairs, and the China Cat Riders. Wrapping things up on Sunday, head to the Memorial Center Farmers Market, Yoga in Battery Park, or the Compton Park Music Festival. Music includes Three's Company 100th gig, Kingston Pop Choir, Doug Van De Horden, and Lucas Pell, Dave McGrath, Head Over Heels, Steve Giberson's Mopin' Mike, and live band karaoke with the Oreos. That is your weekly events and concerts calendar for August 17th through the 23rd. For more information on any of these events, visit the CFRC website and keep it locked right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. This events calendar is brought to you by Flying V Productions, bringing live theater, comedy, and unforgettable entertainment to audiences across Kingston. I'm Jenny. Thanks for listening and have a great week, Kingston.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.